You are listening to the How to Talk to Girls podcast with me, Trip Kramer.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the How to Talk to Girls podcast. I'm your host, Trip Kramer from tripadvicecoaching.com. Today, we're talking about the five superpowers to crush it when talking to girls. What are the five? I'm not going to say the biggest things. There's a lot of different things, but five things that have stuck out to me that are, if you're able to do this, like if you're able to have these superpowers, which, by the way, you're not born with these. This is something that you can learn. I'm going to be teaching you that today, okay? But if you have these superpowers, not only is it going to make it easier to talk to women, but more importantly, you're going to get more opportunities with women. You're going to build more attraction with women. And like I said, the cool thing here is this is all something that you can learn. It just takes repetition. That's the name of the game when it comes to doing well in anything. In anything. I teach you that meeting and attracting women is a skill. It's a skill because there are things that can be practiced. There are things that can be honed. So you get these reps in as if you're going to the gym and working out and doing the reps and doing the reps. You're trying to get your steps in and you're just doing the steps. The repetition will get you results. Okay. So we're going to talk about those five superpowers and then I'm going to do some Q&A. Guys who have been writing in their questions, I got a bunch here. We did a Q&A last episode. That was really fun. I might do another one this week just because I really enjoy answering your questions and going deep into your personal situations. So we'll give you some Q&A today. And I do want to mention that we had a boot camp this past weekend. It was the first boot camp of the year. We are now scaling this to do this in multiple cities across the country. We have a few spots left, I should mention, in Austin. That's in April. We have, we're doing one in London as well. So we added that date. So for all of you who listen, who are in Europe, we were doing one in London, July 5th. We are doing one in Miami. I know I'm kind of out of order here chronologically. I'm just kind of giving you what I remember here until I pull this up on, here we go. So the next one is in Miami. That one's sold out. Two spots left in Austin, April 26th. We got LA, Vegas, London, San Diego, another Miami, a Chicago, and we're going to keep on adding dates. So this is dates that are going all the way to August 30th. On these boot camps, you're going to be working with Trip Advice coaches. They're taking you out, helping you approach. We had guys this past weekend who were able to take women home. We had some makeouts happen. We had guys who were previously very scared to approach women break through their approach anxiety and approach women. So now they can take that skill set home with them. Amazing results. This is all in a full weekend. This was in Vegas that we did it Friday through Sunday. So it's for all day Friday and Friday night, all day Saturday night and Sunday day. And you're going to learn all the skill sets to do cold approach. We even do have a section during the first or second day, I believe, where we're going to be going over some online stuff. So we talked to you about your dating profile, take some pictures for you. And it's just an awesome weekend. It's one that you'll honestly never forget. It is very, very, very powerful. So go to tripadvice.com/live training. You'll see all the dates, all of the cities. And like I said, we'll be adding more as time goes on. But go ahead and check those out. If any of those work for you, you can click the button that says sign up. And that's going to take you to a calendar where you can do a call with us. And then we'll talk more about the boot camp and talk about all the options for you to see if it's a good fit and if it's going to help you and go through all the details. Okay. So tripadvice.com/live training. And I tell you right now, if you join one of these boot camps, at the very worst, you're going to walk away with 50% plus more confidence in talking to women. And of course, there's, who knows, the sky's the limit. We had guys taking girls home. I mean, it was wild. So we can help you with this. Cold approach is not easy. Think about a boot camp. tripadvice.com/live training. Now, superpowers. This is related to cold approach because these superpowers are for approaching. Okay. The five superpowers today are for approaching women. This is when you're doing day game, so to speak, or night game. So approaching women, bars, daytime, wherever you have these five superpowers, it's going to help you so much more. These superpowers are kind of related to first dates. I'm not going to go into that today. I really want to stick to more specifics with cold approach just because they have a lot more to do with cold approach than anything else. So, first superpower, knowing when to escalate. Okay, so escalation, it's a funny thing because at some points, it's not actually something you have to do in order to get results. I want to explain what I mean here. It's very important. You don't have to physically escalate. You don't have to make out with a girl. You don't have to break the touch barrier in order for her to give you her number and get her attracted and see her again. But I know that you want to, and if you do it properly, it can help. But just understand that it's not needed. I like to say that a lot because guys get obsessed with it. Now you might be asking, well, Tripp, if you don't think it's that important, why are you teaching it? Why is it a superpower? Because it's still a superpower. It's still awesome to be able to do it if you know how to do it and can do it. I'm just telling you the reality. It's not like, oh, can escalate? Girl's never going to like you. You can't break the touch barrier. You're screwed. But when you know how to do it right and you do enough repetition, it can be very helpful. It can be very helpful. So let's go into how do you actually know when to escalate? Here's my formula. Here's what I've used. Here's what's worked for me. Here's what's worked for our clients is that when you have a woman there and you can start to get signs that she's interested in you. Now, it's funny. You might have thought, Tripp, isn't that the superpower? Yeah, it is to know when a woman is attracted. But moreover, you got to have something to do with that information. So if you know how to tell if she's attracted, then you can escalate. Okay, so what we do here is we pay attention to the signs that she might be interested. Simple signs, not difficult. It's funny because I thought this was something that was so hard back in the day, but it's really not. It's really not. Is she paying attention to you when you're doing the approach? Is she touching you first? Is she giving you good eye contact? Is she asking you personal questions? Is she giving you a lot of attention even though her friends are right next to her? Think of the word attention. If you're getting attention in various forms from a woman, she's showing interest. When we see that interest, then we can start to break the touch barrier. Not to get too advanced here, but just know that if she doesn't show interest, you still can escalate. You still can break the touch barrier because even being able to do that comfortably can actually get her attracted. But what I'm talking about here, this superpower specifically, is kind of like doubling down. I like to, when I know a girl is interested, when I see all these signs, when they're coming my way, I like to double down and escalate further. This is when I like to increase breaking the touch barrier, having more touches, going for a hug. This is when I like to flirt more verbally. This is when I like to do more push-pull. I might even do a little bit more pull, showing a little bit more interest in her. Okay, so I might do a lot more of that, and I'm doubling down on that when I'm seeing that she's interested. And that, my friends, is how you might escalate to get to the point where you're going for a kiss, you're making out at the bar, or she's going home with you. That's how escalation works. Or she's coming home with you, the logistics are good, and then boom, you guys are now together at the end of the night. I know it sounds a little advanced, but that's why I call it a superpower, because if it was easy, I don't know if it would be a superpower, right? It would just be nothing. So we need to practice. We need the reps, knowing when to escalate. You do it when she's showing more interest. And then you show more interest. Then you escalate more. This is how guys, if any of you are familiar with the old pickup community, like back in the day, like 2001 to 2007, 2008, when that was really big and the game came out, Neil Strauss, Mystery Method, all that stuff. This is what they were doing. This is how they were taking girls home all the time and getting makeouts. And this is stuff that we also teach on the boot camp, I should mention. Right. So all this is very possible for you if you're interested. You, again, don't have to take her home, don't have to go for a makeout, don't even have to break too much of the touch barrier for it to be successful. But for those of you who are interested, that's what you're going to be doing. Okay, so that's superpower number one, in no specific order. Superpower number two, another superpower is not having to drink alcohol. Not having to drink alcohol. I think you understand why that's a superpower. If you don't, let me tell you a story. When I moved to Los Angeles in 2007, 2008, when I was there, I was learning how to meet women. And I remember, because this was the only information back in the day, was all that pickup material. I remember those guys would go out and also not drink. And I thought, wow, that's so cool. That really inspired me that these guys were going out completely sober. And then I thought, you know what? That just has to be the way. In my opinion, that just has to be the way to be able to get really good at building attraction with a woman. Because if you are really drunk, or even tipsy, even like one drink in, where a lot of guys will say, oh, well, let me just get one drink just to kind of, you know, take the edge off. Well, let me tell you that once you get a little alcohol in you, yeah, you're right. I get it. You loosen up. Trust me. I know. I've been there. I used alcohol a lot in my college years and early 20s to loosen up. And I went too far and I would just get really drunk and it still didn't really work out. But then I learned how to do this without alcohol. And even with a little bit of alcohol inside of you, you're not in full control. So the superpower is going out, talking to women completely sober and having the control. So what I learned when I was trying this sober was that I was able to understand more of the dynamics and the nuances happening in an approach. So remember how I just said the first superpower was knowing when to escalate because you're seeing the signs that she's interested. You might not see those as well when you're drinking, because when you drink, it numbs you. It numbs you. It numbs your senses. And it puts you into a different state where you're not able to be as in control, as smooth. This is why reaction time slows down because of alcohol. That's why you shouldn't be driving when you're drinking, because reaction time slows down, or you're just getting more tired and loopy, and then you can get into an accident. So when you are talking to women and you're drunk, you're also not really in full control. And you might not say something that works or makes sense. You're not putting it all together. So I went out, and it was not easy. I had to do it over and over and over and over again, because I remembered before that going to the bars meant you get a drink. I knew about bars and clubs as you go to the bar and you get a drink. So now I'm going to these bars and clubs and I'm not getting any drinks at all. I'm just going to talk to people. But you'll see that once you get good at this and you end up in a bunch of conversations, you know what you find? You find that, wow, people are kind of drunk. Of course they are. You're at a bar, you're at a club, right? They're going to be drinking. And you just feel this, almost like this arrogance. You feel so much more powerful than everyone in the room because you just know everything that's going on. And you get to understand all, like I said, all the nuances. It's like any skill. Think about playing an instrument. I bet that if you have a few drinks in you, you're not going to be as good at playing the instrument as you are as if you're focused. I know that I can hear someone say, no, when you loosen up, you're a little bit better. I mean, listen, we can argue all day on this, but the whole point is drinking is going to even impair you just a little bit, so you're not all present and you're not going to learn this stuff as much. I even found later on when I did learn this stuff, I thought, you know, I don't need to do this completely sober anymore. Why don't I have a drink? So it was maybe like a year or two later where I said, yeah, let me have a drink. I got this now. You know what happened? It was really funny. I'm not saying this is going to happen to you, but what happened to me was I ended up having a few drinks, and you would think, okay, you're already a guy who has really good game and you're good with women. And then if you put a couple of drinks in you, you're even more loose. So you're even more confident. I actually was worse, like significantly worse. It brought me back to back in the day when I would drink and try to meet women, and I had no control. I don't mean like I lost control. I was running around screaming and going naked. I don't mean that to the extreme degree. I mean control as in like I know how to, I can be actively listening better to her. I could be picking up on the cues that she's interested, not interested. I'm not as loopy when I'm having conversation or flirting. You know, I actually went back and yeah, I was in a place where it just wasn't as easy. So no drinking can be very, very helpful for you, especially when you're learning this stuff. And if you think your approach anxiety is still that bad, well, I'm going to ask you this. What are you going to do when you see a woman at the grocery store or at the market, whenever you're going shopping or whenever you're riding your bike or whatever you're doing? You're going to hop in a bar real quick and take a couple shots? No, you have to do it sober. You're forced to. Or not, you don't have to do the approach at all, but why would you not do that? So don't rely on it. Let's go to superpower number 3, relaxation. Can you relax when you're inside of an approach, when you're going over to her and the music is blasting, or when you see a group of girls walking, you want to go and approach? Can you relax? At first, no matter what, even I still get this to this day, is you're going to have that adrenaline. So you will have that intense adrenaline that kind of, you know, gets your blood pumping. But that's good. That's excitement. That's the, I would say also probably part of the dopamine, because dopamine is the chemical that pushes you to motivate you to get something. That's why you feel a little bit good when you're hungry, not when you're too hungry. But when you're hungry, you get all excited for the food. That's motivation. So you're going to feel a lot of different feelings going on, and it might be kind of hard to relax. But the more that you practice approaching, the more relaxed you're going to be. So in the very beginning, when you're doing your first, you know, 100, 200 approaches, I mean, in your life, it's going to be hard to relax. That's okay. This is a superpower. This is reps. It's not meant to happen right away. Just like the drinking, right? I wasn't comfortable and I didn't know what to do being completely sober, talking to these women. It was so hard. I had to work through that confidence. So with relaxation, it's also a skill. And the relaxation part happens not necessarily before the approach, but during the approach. Can you get to a point in the conversation when your heart is not racing anymore, when you're just relaxed, when you're talking to her, flirting with her, and it's as if you're talking to a friend? You know, how much are you relaxed when you're talking to a friend? You're fully relaxed. Maybe there's a little bit of adrenaline when you haven't seen a friend in a while and it gets really exciting in the beginning and all these emotions are happening, you know, but eventually you're at a point where you're just relaxed. Your heart rate goes back to resting and you just become more comfortable. I'd like to get you to that place with women because it's not like a friend. It takes a little bit longer, especially when you're attracted to a woman and you're hitting on her and talking to her. I'd like to get to that place faster. And we do that by doing a lot of approaches. So how do we relax? How do we get to the relaxed state? We're going to do more approaches. And why is relaxation and being relaxed in an approach so important? The reason why it's so important is because she is going to feed off of your energy. If you go in and have really nervous energy and you're not relaxed and you seem nervous, you seem out of sorts, maybe you seem so excited that you're just bouncing off the walls and you're going off tangents and lots of conversation, that's not going to be the most attractive. She's attracted to a guy who's calm, cool, and collected. Think James Bond. Think Matthew McConaughey in most of his movies. He's just chill, right? He's chill. I'm not going to do a Matthew McConaughey impression. But you get it. If you've seen Dazed and Confused, all right, okay? Just super relaxed, super confident. And then women are going to love that. Because relaxation equals confidence. That's how confidence is depicted. Now, the good news is you're going to have some confidence depiction already because you're going over and you're approaching her, and women are going to be like, wow, this guy's confident. They're going to think that, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, they're going to be thinking that. But it's more than just the approach. It's how you're acting in the approach. Breathe, relaxed. And again, it's okay that this doesn't come. It's okay that these superpowers don't come in the next 10 approaches. Get it down. Get the reps in. You'll be there. All right. We got two more for you. Here's the next one. Knowing when to call it quits. Knowing when to call it quits. What do I mean by that? A lot of guys don't think about this. This is the first time I've ever taught this. Because today I was thinking about superpowers and I really came across this one in my head. I thought, okay, this is a good one. I've never taught this before, so this is a first. When you're talking to women in a cold approach setting, I think it's really important to know when to just move on if it's not going anywhere. However, you still need to give it a good shot. There's been times where I've done approaches and I've talked to women who did not seem very interested in talking to me. And I had to get past like 3, 4, 5 minutes. And then finally they started to open up and then they became attracted and it worked. So I don't mean you go and you approach and 2 minutes later, you just leave. Okay, that's the opposite. We don't want you to be doing that. But I'm talking about those situations where you're going and approaching and you're in like 5, 6, 7 minutes plus. So maybe it even goes to 10, maybe it even goes to 20. And it's just not really going anywhere. It kind of dies. And you might know what I'm talking about. If you're a guy who's done a lot of approaching and you're listening to this right now, you know what I'm talking about. And then it gets a little stale. You ever have that where it just, it's rocking, it's really good. And then for whatever reason, just because there's no real explanation. It just kind of happens. It ends up just kind of dying a little bit. She's talking to her friends and you're like hanging around. I actually had someone ask a question about this recently in a Q&A. I think I answered a question sort of recently about this, maybe like a month ago, where someone said he would go out and talk to a group of women. And then the guys in there would say, dude, these aren't your friends. Like, go away. And while I didn't give him this advice, I remember I'm giving you this advice right now, is if you're in a situation where things start to go a little stale, it's okay to leave. Get her number and move on. Go and do more approaches, get more numbers. Because some women are going to be interested in you hardcore right away and throughout the entire conversation. Some are going to be not interested at all. And then some, this is where this superpower comes in. Some are going to be super interested at first. And then it kind of dies a little bit. Or you just kind of get lost. And you're just not really sure where you're at in the conversation. And the flirting kind of died. And maybe it gets awkward or it's not moving anywhere. The logistics aren't good. You're not moving her around. She's not interested as much in the conversation as she first was. When that starts to happen, call it quits. Grab her number, get out. Do more approaches. Have more fun. Now, just make sure that if you're doing this, you're still giving it a good shot. Okay, that's superpower number four. I'm trying to think if there's anything to add there, but I hope that makes sense. This is a superpower. I don't need you to worry about this until you've done a lot of approaches. You know, don't even focus on this too much. It's more for when you've done a lot and you're getting more advanced and you're starting to see more results and you're getting into longer conversations, then you can start. Because I just don't want you wasting time. That's why I think it's a superpower. If it dies, move on. Grab the number and move on. And it doesn't mean it's dead, by the way. That doesn't mean that she's not interested and she won't text you back. She still might. But leave on more of a high note. Now, to get a little bit more granular, because you know I like to do that, don't look for the high note and leave. You don't have to leave on the highest note. Just when it starts to dip and the high note is passed, things are kind of not going the way it was going, then you can dip out. That's when you leave. Number four, knowing when to call it quits. Number five, there is an art to handling the friends. Because in most approaches at night, if not all, she's going to be with her friends. During the day, I'd say it's 50-50. You'll get a lot of women who are walking alone, going shopping, and then you will get some women who are with their friends. So how do we handle friends? Well, the biggest thing I can say is only handle friends when you absolutely need to. That's rule number one. So that means, and I've said this before many times, but if you're new here, it's good to, for you to know this. You're not approaching the group ever. You're approaching the girl, not the group. We only bring in the friends as we need to. If the friends start talking to us, if the friends pull her away, maybe the friends come in and they say something, whatever it may be. Or maybe when it makes sense in the conversation, she's like, oh, you should meet my friends. Or, yeah, I'm here with my friends. This is, you know, Samantha, whatever. So you have to know when to handle the friends and how to handle the friends. Kill with kindness. Be super nice to them. You're almost going to be beta. You got to be a beta boy when it comes to handling friends. Don't be Mr. Cool Guy. You're Mr. Cool Guy with her. But you're not going to be mysterious, And it's okay if she sees you like this, but you can't be teasing them. And trust me, I've made this mistake too much. I've seen our clients make this mistake too much. This is where the art comes in. You got to be super nice. They have to think, oh, wow, this guy is so cool. This guy is so nice. You don't want to be a threat. Yes, you want to be a sexual threat in a way to her, the girl that you're interested in. She wants to see that kind of energy, but not her friends. Her friends want to make sure that she's with a cool guy who's super nice. She's taken care of. It's all good. And then when you get that mama bear who comes in, there's sometimes a woman in the group who is just super loud and protective of everyone. And maybe just gives you shit and goes, who are you? Why are you here? Blah, 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 blah. And starts to give you all these shit tests. Just kill her with kindness. Oh, my bad. I haven't met you yet. I'm Trip. What's your name? Cool. How long have you guys known each other for? That's awesome. Okay, so you're best friends then. So cool. Okay, what's the last super fun thing you guys did together? Have you guys go traveling? What do you guys do? Play pickleball? Tell me what's all the fun stuff. So you're going to be super chill, super nice, kill with kindness. And then you're going to notice that if you do it correctly, her friends are going to like you and they're actually going to give you space. Doesn't happen all the time, but boy, does it happen quite a bit. I see that it happens a little bit more with older women when the women are like 18 to maybe 24, 25, even 26. Those women seem to hang around a lot and don't necessarily give their friend that space. But when the women are older, 26 plus, they don't want to be a cock block. If they're good friends, they don't want to be a cock block. You can tell. You can tell what happens here when these older women are around. And then they start to have their own conversation. They might even walk away. So kill with kindness until things resolve and then come back to her and having the conversation with her. So that is handling friends. Does that sound good? You want to practice this? You want to get some reps in? Do you want to get a lot of reps in? Consider a boot camp, my friend. You know where to go. Link is in the show notes. You'll get a ton of reps in and you'll be able to practice this stuff so you can, like I've mentioned, do this without drinking. You'll know when to escalate, become a little bit more relaxed. You'll know when to call it quits and you'll be able to handle the friends when you do this over and over and over and over. And if you're not going to join a boot camp, do this on your own. Try to get a lot of reps in so you can get these superpowers. Because when you have all these superpowers with cold approach, you're unstoppable. You'll see. Don't believe me. You will see for yourself. That's when things start to become fun and easy, and it's just awesome. All right, let's go to some Q&A. People have been writing in. I'm going to answer a couple of questions here. This one is from Anonymous. Hey, Trip. I just want to say I'm a huge fan of your podcast. It has helped me huge. I have a question. I'm a 36-year-old man and was going through a record dry spell, 5 years. I met a girl who was 20 years old and we happened to click. I felt a little weird about that age difference at first, but she kept giving me green signals, including sending me some pics. We ended up hooking up one night, and it was all through consent, of course. However, yesterday, I was approached by my friend, and someone has told him that I may be a creepy towards a few younger girls, her not being one of them. But it was someone that started following me, and then I followed back, and we started messaging each other. This person claimed it was creepy for me to try to shoot my shot, even though it was never in words, just a vibe I was giving off. Being in a metal band that is known in my city, I'm worried about getting canceled, and this has impacted me huge mentally, as I feel like I genuinely didn't do anything wrong. Just wanted to know your thoughts on this, how I should proceed moving forward. Please keep me anonymous. Thanks for everything that you do. Regards. It's a good question, man. Oh yeah, this is a toughie. Here's my answer to you. If you were not in a metal band and you were worried about getting canceled, okay, my answer is keep doing what you're doing. Because at the end of the day, some people are going to think you're creepy and some aren't. And if you know you're not being creepy, I trust that you're not. I fully trust that you know that you're not being creepy. In fact, I fully trust every single listener of this podcast. I know you're not being creepy because creepy guys don't listen to this podcast. They don't think they need help. They don't think they have anywhere to learn and they come off in a weird way and that becomes creepy. Usually guys who are listening to a podcast like this are guys who are generally speaking a little bit more reserved. So you're not going to be a creepy dude. And so for a guy like you, assuming again, you're not in a metal band, I would say there's nothing to do. Keep doing what you're doing. Some women are going to find you creepy. Some women aren't. Clearly it worked for you. You ended up hooking up with a girl and it was all good. So yeah, I'm a little confused by exactly how this all panned out. I don't know which girl's who and how you met a girl through Instagram. I, to be honest, couldn't follow too much, but to answer your question, knowing that you are in a metal band and you're worried about getting canceled, this is now personal choice. This is the risk. Yep, there is risk. There is risk when you're dealing with a lot of other humans. There is risk when you are flirting with a lot of humans. So you didn't really ask me a specific question. You just asked me what my thoughts are. Well, I guess you said you want to know how to proceed moving forward. Okay, that is a question. I would say you can do a couple of things. One, stop meeting women on Instagram where they get to see that you're this public figure, and maybe that's not the best place for you to be shooting your shot. So I would kill that opportunity and instead meet women in person. And if you're not a creepy guy, then in person, you should be fine and it should be all good. Because I don't want to say to you, well, you're older, so you shouldn't be going for younger women. You could absolutely be going for younger women. Clearly, it worked. It's totally fine to be doing that. But if you start messaging someone now, there is actual evidence, and maybe you weren't being creepy, but she can say you were, and it's her word against yours. So chill on the social media approaches and instead focus on meeting women in person. Now, if you're also going to be saying, well, Trip, I'm worried about getting canceled and doing it in person as well. What do I do? How do I proceed forward? I don't know what to tell you. I'm not stumped. I just don't know what to tell you. There's risk involved. I don't think the risk is high, though. I think you can talk to a lot of women and it should be fine. As long as you're not putting any pressure, you're getting consent, which you said you did, then you should be fine. And it shouldn't be a problem and the risk should be low. So there you go. Hope that helps. Great question. Definitely a new type. And good luck. All right, this one is from Tim. Hey, Trip, I recently listened to your latest podcast regarding how to have a girl regret losing you. I ended up having a mutual decision to break up with my ex in April. I muted her stories and posts on social media, but found myself tempted to still view her stories and posts. So I unfollowed her and her friends to cut all avenues to see her on my feed and have access in general. My concern is, will the complete unfollow be a sign of weakness and show I still care? Granted, if she reached out and asks why I unfollowed her, that would mean she checked to see if I still follow and ultimately shows she cares to scroll and look for my name. If I am ever asked why I unfollowed her, how would you respond, if at all? Hope to hear from you. Thanks, Tim. Okay, Tim. Great question. There's a reason why you're unfollowing her. There's a reason why you're unfollowing her friends. There's a reason why, quote, you said, cut all avenues. The reason is because you've moved on from her. I'm pretty black and white when it comes to how to handle exes. Yes, there are exceptions once in a while, I guess, where you can end up being friends with them. But that's such an exception. Generally speaking, they should be dead to you. You should not care about them. And I mean, maybe you care about them, but they should be far gone. Think about when you eventually have a girlfriend, a new one. And eventually, a lot of you guys are going to have exes. I have several. You know what happens when you have a new girlfriend? You have a new girlfriend. So that other person, they're not your friend. Or some divorcee where you guys are sharing custody of your kids. That's another exception. They're not part of your life anymore. So why are you still caring? You asked, my concern is, will the complete unfollow be a sign of weakness and show I still care? Who cares? Are you looking for the upper leg here? Upper leg, is that the right term? Upper arm? Upper hand? Upper hand. I just called it upper leg. Are you worried about having the upper hand? Like, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. She's not part of your life anymore. She's gone. She's memories. She's just memories at this point. What she thinks of you does not matter. And if you're trying to get her back, you shouldn't be. There's a reason why you're cutting all avenues to move on and find someone else where it makes sense and it works. We're trying to go for women where it works, not where it didn't work. She breaks up with you. You move on. So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if she's ever going to ask you why you unfollowed her. You're trying to solve issues that you don't have. And guess what? Not only are you trying to solve issues you don't have, you're saying that there is an issue. There is no issue. We don't need to contact her. We don't need to hear from her. It's gone. It's dead. She's done. Game over. Game over. New game. New woman. And that's it. It's really that simple, Tim. We don't care. Is it a sign of weakness? No, actually, it's not. I don't know what she thinks, but I'll tell you. I'll just tell you to reinforce and help you understand these beliefs, the correct beliefs. No, it's not a weakness. It's strength. Weakness is the opposite. Weakness is sitting there and looking at her stories and wondering if she's ever going to reach back out to you and you're, what is she up to? What are her friends doing? Okay, I want to see what her friends are doing to see if I can glimpse something of her if she's in one of the stories. That's weakness. Strength is what you've done. Nope, I'm out. I'm done. Unfollow. See you later. Don't need this. Not in my life. Goodbye. Let's do one more. Hi, Trip. My wife. Interesting start to this. My wife and I are both 36, have been together for 19 years. Wow, that means you guys met when you were 17. Married for 13. This divorce came up about a month ago. Ah, I see now. Big surprise at first, but now it's making more sense. And I think I haven't been satisfied with our relationship for a while. She'd been unhappy and bottling it up for a long time and then cheated on me with a coworker. We are now pursuing an amicable divorce and will be co-parenting our two kids, 8 and 4. I'm actually starting to get excited at the prospect of dating and sleeping with new women. Fun and enthusiasm will be a nice change. However, I've always been kind of clingy and personally insecure. I'm working on that. I've lost 50 pounds over the last year and started a band with some friends and we're beginning to play shows. Making progress on my career, working out a lot lately too. Good job, new truck, and a nice house that I'm keeping. I wonder where this is going. He says, however, I feel like some sort of overgrown virgin. I've never even kissed anyone other than my wife. I'm comfortable talking to girls in the friend zone. That's all I ever was interested in until now. I feel pretty in the dark as to how to flirt with or foster a romantic or even just sexual relationship with a new woman. I see your video from today is about virgins. I'm obviously not one and I think I'm pretty good in bed, but I feel virgin adjacent. Open to any advice or feel free to use this as an idea for a new video. Just please don't use my real name. I found you the other day and I've been enjoying your advice. Thanks. Well, I guess I'll give the same advice I'll give to a virgin. Since you're, I like that term, virgin adjacent. Okay. Yeah, it's pretty much the same advice. First of all, it's not a big deal. What you're nervous of is what every guy is nervous of, whether you're a virgin or not. You're just nervous of the unknown. You just don't know what it's like to have sex with a woman other than your wife. You don't know what it's like to flirt. It's all new to you. So what happens when things are new, guys? We get nervous. We get scared. What's the formula for confidence? Confidence equals competence plus the ability to step into the unknown. Once you're competent at something and you have the ability to do new scary things more often, you are a confident individual. But the only way to get there is through, drum roll, please. Reps. Reps, reps, reps. Yes. So for all you virgins or virgin adjacents out here, don't put too much emphasis on that first girl you kiss, the first girl you go on a date with, and the first girl you sleep with. I know that it's become such a thing in our culture to think about that and, oh, the girl I lost my virginity to, or maybe for you, Anonymous, the first girl you sleep with after your divorce, and it gets really nerve-wracking, just expect failure, expect some awkwardness. And for a guy like you who's virgin adjacent, really loving that term, for a guy like you who's virgin adjacent, you're not an actual virgin. So just don't worry. Everything's going to come back pretty fast. You've had sex before, even though it was with one person, you've done that. You've kissed before. You understand what it's like to be with women. You have it. So it's deep, deep, deep down inside of you. And the second you start doing it, it's going to come back like it's already been there. You just got to break the seal. That's all. You got to break the seal and break it fast. I don't mean that you have to rush to sleep with someone, but I mean, you got to break the seal by going out, doing your approaches, join us for a boot camp, go out, start an online dating profile. That's the last thing. You've done so much. You got your house, career, working out, band with friends. The reason why you're feeling, quote, personally insecure is because you just don't have any. We're all insecure when we don't have any experience. That's it. Your insecurity comes from lack of competence. Break the seal, put yourself out there, and it's going to be a lot easier than you think once things get going. So I hope I answered that as best as I could. Yeah, just looking it over. I think we did. That's really good. All right, guys. That's an episode. That was awesome. Great questions. Thank you all for writing in. You can write in too. Email trip@tripadvice.com, put in the subject line podcast question, and we will answer your question here on the podcast. Join us on our boot camps happening in 2024. Link is in the show notes. Talk to you on the next episode.